This is BayCare Health Chat, another podcast from BayCare Health System. Here's Melanie Cole.
Nearly everyone I know has had headache pain at some point in their lives, but if your headache is severe or unusual, you really start to worry. My guest today is Dr. Sanjeev Sahu. He's a neurologist with BayCare Health System. Dr. Sahu, do we know even why we get headaches? Do we know what they are or what causes them?
So that, I think, is an excellent question. But before we can answer that question, we have to understand that headaches come in very many different flavors. There's various different causes for headaches. The vast majority, obviously, especially in the younger population, would be migraines. But we always have to make sure that the headaches are not coming from a secondary cause. Sometimes somebody might have a tumor, they might have a clot, there may be an infection, there may be other causes for the headache that aren't apparent. And it's important to make sure that you see a physician to evaluate you to establish that there isn't a secondary cause for the headache. If you have ruled out the secondary causes, then the vast majority really have migraines. And that can happen in about 10% of the population. And why people have migraines, that's an excellent question. I wish we had an answer to that. But part of it is genetics. If you have a first-degree relative with headaches, it's likely that you might suffer them too. And we have some basic understanding of why someone has a headache once it's triggered. And there are many different types of triggers for a headache, and we can go into details of that later on.
As I said in the intro, everybody worries. They get a headache once or twice, but if they get it three or four times and they don't know if they have migraines, they really start to worry that it is a tumor or something worse. What are the symptoms that you want people to be aware of? Red flags, something that changes the picture that would send them to see a provider at the first place?
So again, that's an excellent question. I think what we need to pay attention to is the pattern of the headache. If it's a migraine, you can have a headache that comes and goes, but in between the headaches, you recover completely. If there's a headache that is gradually progressive and then continues to build up and then stays persistent, then that's definitely something that needs to be looked into, especially if it's lasted for more than a week or two. It's worth getting checked out. Other red flags that are really important to pay attention to is if someone has a fever, if they have neck stiffness, if they get nauseous and start throwing up, if they have any neurological symptoms of deficit, such as numbness, tingling, weakness, blurry vision, loss of vision, imbalance, dizziness, all of those signs and symptoms could suggest that maybe there's something more worrisome than just plain migraines. And it's a good thing to get checked out for those.
How do you diagnose them if people don't want to have this big battery of tests to find out why they have a headache? What do you do and how do you differentiate that it could be a sinus issue or a toothache or eye issues? Or how is the testing and diagnosis process? How does that start?
So I think the very first step is to go to your primary physician. And the simple reasons for having a headache, such as eye strain, glaucoma, a sinus pressure headache, tension headache, maybe a toothache, anything that revolves around the neck, neck strain. Those are things that primary physicians see on a daily basis. What they will pick up on is something that doesn't fit the usual symptomatology, that doesn't fit the usual pattern. And if they try their regular therapies and it doesn't work, or if they don't reach the conclusion that they were expecting, then that's when they have to send you to the next level, and that would be to a neurologist. And once you come to see a neurologist, then they take a background history, they go into the details of the characteristics of the headache, they will then evaluate you with an examination, they look for signs and deficits that would suggest that there is something like a structural lesion or another etiology for the headache, and then they can always consider imaging. Even if it's something simple as a CT scan, if it's something more worrisome, we can always do an MRI. It depends on how the patients present to you. Sometimes we see unusual cases of cervical dissection, where there can be a tear in the vessel, blood clots in the brain, there can be increased pressure in the spinal fluid, and these things will show up on the exam with blurring of the discs when you check the fundus on an eye exam, when you see signs of a small pupil on one side versus the other. That's a sign of Horner syndrome, which can basically point you to a dissection. So the neurologist will be able to pick that up and then decide, do we need to do more imaging, such as a CT, an MRI, an MR venogram? Or does that patient need a spinal tap? Are we worried about an infection? Are we worried about increased pressure? There's a condition known as xerotumor cerebri, where there's elevated spinal fluid pressures, and no one really knows why someone has that, but something simple as weight gain can cause that. So these are things that we will look for and address before we end up diagnosing a migraine.
Dr. Sahu, with teens, they get so many headaches, and we all do if we're really stressed out. When does a parent determine that it's stress, lack of sleep, all of the other things that teens go through, and what do you advise parents to do about it as far as taking them in versus saying, well, let's try some stress modification techniques or get better sleep? And for parents, this is a confusing situation.
So you've already raised some very, very important management options. You really stressed on the lifestyle changes. And I think parents should really start off with that. Again, the teenage years is a very difficult time. They're under tremendous stress, tremendous peer pressure. They have a lot to perform and achieve. And so they have altered sleep-wake cycles. So I think the parents should really help them and encourage them to develop a disciplined lifestyle. And it's difficult, but you know, you have to eat at the right time, you know, because fasting can trigger migraines. You have to eat healthy. You have to have a proper bed regimen. You go to sleep at a certain time, wake up at a certain time. You have to find time to exercise. It's been shown in studies that 150 minutes of exercise a week, 3 to 5 sessions, you have 20 minutes a day would basically help achieve that 150 minutes. And you can decrease your migraine frequency just on that basis alone. Now, if in spite of that, the teen still has frequent headaches, we have to understand that the migraines by themselves is not the issue. Sometimes there's premonitory phases where you could find symptoms of fatigue, tiredness. You can even have thirst, increased micturition frequency. And then it's the post-migraine phenomenon, the exhaustion, the confusion, that all adds up. So even if it lasted a day, you add a day before and a day after, they're losing 3 days with every single headache. Now, some migraines are easy to treat, and you can treat them with simple over-the-counter NSAIDs or non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs like ibuprofen, Tylenol, Excedrin. But if the headaches are frequent, and even if they're responding to the medications, if they have more than 6 headaches that are easily treatable, that's still too many. If they're having 3 or 4 headaches or more that are difficult to treat and don't respond to the regular medications, that's when the parents should actually consider bringing them to a specialist so that maybe you can try a medication, a prophylactic medication, to prevent them from getting so many frequent headaches that seems to be impairing their daily life.
Please speak about some of the newer medications on the market, including anti-nausea treatments or even Botox, that you're using. What's new and exciting in the headache world?
So for the longest time, we've had many different types of medications that we use to treat a headache when you have the headache. And I talked about the non-steroidal agents, but there are the triptan classes, the sumatriptan, the amitriptan, the rizatriptan, the elmetriptan. There are different types of triptan medications which can abort a headache when you get it. If you use it within the first 15 minutes, it will stop it in its track, along with some of the bothersome symptoms. Those are the things that we have for abortive therapies. And there's different types of ways you can use them. They can be in a tablet form, a nasal spray. They can be in the form of an injection where you just have an air puff that goes into the skin. there's even a powder that can be blown into the nasal mucosa that can also help abort the headache. So aside from abortive therapy, we now have treatment options for prevention of migraines. And we've had different classes of medications that you may have come across. There's a very good medication known as topiramate or Topamax, which is highly effective to prevent headache. But then we have other older antidepressants such as amitriptyline, nortriptyline. We have some beta blockers like propranolol, nadolol. We have some calcium channel blockers like verapamil. And then we have some older anticonvulsants like Depakote. There's many different options. There's some over-the-counter options that most individuals are not aware of, like simple magnesium, 400 milligrams, Feverfew, coenzyme Q10 at a dose of 300 milligrams, riboflavin. So just simple things that you can do. But the newer agents that are out there, we've had Botox that has been there quite a few years, and you can take Botox injections every 3 months, and that will help decrease the frequency of headaches. But the most recent medication that's come out on the market is a class of drugs known as CGRP antagonists. CGRP stands for calcitonin gene-related peptide, and they have come out with three or four different medications that target that particular receptor and are really very effective. And most of them are in the form of injections once a month, and they can drop the headache frequency significantly and with very minimal side effects. There's a new one that we've been using in the last year, Aimovig, that really has some injection site reactions and constipation, but nothing too worrisome. The other two out there, Emgality and Ajovy, are also very well tolerated without really any side effects other than injection site. And so we have really good options nowadays.
So interesting. Dr. Sahu, give us your best advice for lifestyle modifications. We spoke a little bit about them, but things that are triggers, things that might set off a headache that you know ahead of time, or ways that we can control our stress and thereby control our headaches.
So again, this is something that I discuss with all my patients. There's things that you can do something about, and there's things that you can't do much about. But the first thing I stress is let's be disciplined, you know, eat, exercise, and sleep. So eat at the right time. Try not to miss meals. Try not to overeat. Exercise at least 150 minutes a week. Get to sleep on time and then wake up on time. Try to avoid daytime naps if possible. If you have sleep apnea, treat that with a CPAP. Avoid stress. That's easier said than done. But if you can't avoid it, try to avoid swings in the stress level. Keeping yourself at a steady state is actually better. I have patients who will suddenly go from a stressful job to a vacation, and then they have a headache. And so even a stress letdown can cause a headache. So you just have to maintain a steady state. Obviously, there are environmental triggers that you can control, like avoid bad odors, certain scents, excessive light, smoke, heat, avoid drinking if that triggers a headache, get to, you know, avoid fasting. And then there's things that you don't have control over, such as weather changes or hormonal changes. And then there's always the food triggers that you have to watch out for. And there's a few common ones that you can look out for. Not everybody has all the triggers. Red wine, cheese, coffee, Coke, MSG, cured meat, chocolate, even some artificial sweeteners such as aspartame. But again, not everybody has these food triggers. You have to maintain a diary and capture the particular food trigger that bothers you and avoid that one. Otherwise, you really won't have much of a lifestyle if you avoid all the good things in your life. So really, it's individually tailored, but discipline is the key. And if you can achieve that, I think you can really look for many more headache-free days.
Thank you so much, Dr. Sahu, for coming on. So many people get headaches, and you've really cleared so beautifully up for us those symptoms to watch out for and when it's important to see your primary care provider and then maybe go on to a specialist. Thank you for the great advice. You're listening to BayCare Health Chat. For more information, please visit baycare.org. That's baycare.org. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for tuning in.